So today I'm going to talk about the latest book by Gabriella Bernstein, or maybe it's Bernstein. The Universe Has Your Back, Transform Fear to Faith. And I just finished reading it for the second time, which kind of tells you how interesting it is, because, yeah. Excuse me. And I had it at my desk at work, because I'd read it during lunch, and two of my coworkers said, "Can I read that book?"
Wow.
And I'm, you know, like, can you imagine having this, The Anatomy of Healing Prayer at work, and somebody going, "Oh, can I read that?" Yeah. I've never had that happen before, and I bring lots of books to work to read. This is the first time anybody said, "I really want to read that." And of course, because I work for the military, I was a little, you know, I have to be really cautious because I don't know where people are coming from. And I said, so I started to ask a little questions like, are you familiar with the teachings of Louise Hay? And because I didn't want to give this to a fundamentalist Christian to read because it might be too big a gap between what they believe and this book. Gabriella is 35 years old, and she's been in recovery now for 10 years. Her path started as a teenager when her mother, who practiced Kundalini yoga, started teaching her to meditate when she was very deeply depressed as a teenager. And she went on to study a great deal, I guess it was Course in Miracles and Abraham. Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, and Yogi Bhajan are a few of the people that are influences that are mentioned in the book. And why I find that interesting is that she's only 35 years old, and yet she's studied so much. Mm-hmm. She is just amazing. She teaches workshops. And I think there's a new marketing strategy at Hay House now, because I've noticed when new books are coming out that they offer videos to people that subscribe to their newsletters. And so that you get the videos, which is where I was introduced. And then I ended up buying the book. There's a group on Facebook. It's a her book club. And I get weekly emails from her. But I don't recall that being the case with other authors when they were releasing books. Mm-hmm. But lately I've been, that and Dr. Joe, is it Dispenza?
Dispenza.
Yeah. So it's actually a pretty effective, because you become introduced to their beliefs and their ideas before you actually decide to buy the book. So she's written several books by now, and again, at 35, oh my goodness. One is called Miracles Now, which has 108 techniques to combat any challenges that are in your life. And I downloaded that for my Kindle as well, and it's a pretty interesting book. And then today I just bought May Cause Miracles, because the title was so enticing. So I will soon have read my third book of hers. So if I had to summarize her the philosophy that is covered in this book, it is that joy is our birthright, and that whatever blocks joy is separating us from the love that the universe has. And we need to, in this incarnation, we need to embrace the love of the universe. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes we separate from this by giving attention to the pain or circumstances in our life that are difficult. So when we do surrender to the love around us, we receive synchronicity, guidance, healing, and abundance at all times. And she is just, her books are full of techniques. That's the amazing part about it, because mostly I'm used to reading theory. Like, Holmes's books don't necessarily have a lot of techniques. You get techniques with Abraham Hicks, and you get even more from Gabriella. And her website has a lot of meditations, and I'm going to list a few. How to Shift Your Lens in Life, a meditation to calm the F down. It's not a pipe dream, it's your it's your reality. What to do when you fall off the meditation wagon. 5-minute meditations to make you feel awesome. And that gives you an idea. That's just, she calls us spirit junkies, which is what we are. When you focus on your positive stories, of course, you're raising your energy and you're boosting your immune system and you're negating the negative stories. And by remembering your positive stories, you give them more energy. And if there's one takeaway I got out of this book that I really hadn't had before, it's that you gotta know when you're in the flow. And if you're stuck, worried, anxious, or upset, you know, that's a sure sign that you're not in the flow, that you're not feeling connected to the universe. And it may show up as not wanting to be around other people, or other people not wanting to be around you.
Oops.
It's important to recognize these symptoms of disconnection because, you know, you want to realign quickly. And then I started thinking, this almost sounds like what I learned a long time ago about Scientology, that you had to, you know, you basically, feeling good was more important than anything else. And now I realize that's pretty good. Feeling good is a good thing. So, and it had never occurred to me before that I needed to monitor where I'm at. And all of a sudden, it's becoming really clear. And circumstances in my life right now, after the election, have certainly, they brought this up because there's a lot I could not feel good about the election. And I realized that I got to cut off the news stories. I need to stop watching so much news. And whatever happens, happens. But it's not going to, I need to remember that it's not necessarily something I need to get myself wrapped around. Because I've been watching other people get upset about the results of the election and the things that are happening afterwards. And I realize, you know what, I don't need to go there. I feel disconnected. So I thought what we could do for a bit is start talking about what it feels like when we're disconnected. Do you know what the signs are? Do you?
Feel like crap.
You feel like crap.
Well, separation, the feeling of separation.
Yeah.
Where you are helpless and you're focusing on the negative.
Right. Right.
You're not appreciating.
You're not appreciating, right. In fact, do you find it easy to appreciate anything when you're feeling like crap?
No, you can't get a whiff of joy if it's really that bad. I mean, just if you get stuck in this loop, it just spirals down. Unless you realize that you can appreciate the sky or that you're breathing and that you have food, you know, or whatever.
How about you, Bethany? Do you know what it feels like to be disconnected? What are the signs for you?
Oh, I don't want to do the things I know I must do. I just don't want to do them. I just feel such a resistance to everything. And I don't want to communicate with others because I don't want to expose them to that side of me. I prefer to hide that. And I feel very fatigued. My pain will increase. It, like David said, it can be a real spiral downward until I go like, okay, get out of it. And I usually go out in nature and walk and I'll expose nature to all of that. And then I just really start focusing on anything that is possibly good.
We're going to talk about feeling connected a little bit. And right now, I'm just trying to get at, do you know what it feels like when you're disconnected? Mm-hmm. Connie, I know you're never disconnected.
I wish that were true.
But if you were disconnected...
I disconnected fairly recently and pulled out of it. I'm grateful for that. But what it manifested for me is waking up scared at 3:15 in the morning. A number of nights in a row, I had all these worry thoughts about things. Boy, I don't like feeling scared. It's really nice when I can start getting angry. Or it's more energy and anger than fear.
Exactly.
But worry was where I came from, a family that was really worried as a child. So I tend to regress to worry sometimes.
So when you start to worry, you know that you're disconnecting.
I'm disconnected when I'm worrying. Mm-hmm.
And the 3 o'clock wake ups?
Yeah, really get my attention. Don't like that feeling.
John, do you have something that tells you?
Yeah, well, it, same as all of you have said. I too, well, really every morning, very seldom do I wake up from, I'm ready to go. Usually it takes me a while, and during that period of time, I feel like, you know, I'm isolated. I just want to pull the covers back over my head. Maybe I better get going, or I'm just going to sit here all day. But then when I get going, and then I meet people, or I take the dog for a walk, like the nature, like you were saying, then things start to come back, and I start to feel more in sync with the universe. But sometimes it's a struggle for me to, sometimes I'm conflicted. I want to be with people and connect to them and feel a connection. But other times I just want to retreat and just like, I don't want to overdose, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. So sometimes it's sort of a push and pull or a tug of war with myself, you know, on that subject. But the more, I would say definitely fear of things. This past year and a half after my wife died, I had more fear of pushing myself out into the world. And it's been a struggle to, I know I feel isolated and I feel a need to connect, a very deep need to connect. And at the same time, I want to retreat. So it's a constant tug of war with myself.
So some of it might be the need to retreat, might be a fear to step out.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I this past year I pushed myself way out of my comfort zone because with my wife I just, you know, day to day and stuff is nice. I've, you know, taken up dancing, I've traveled, you know, places. I just try to hold. I mean, even this today is something new for me. So, you know, sometimes I don't. Why am I doing this? I just want to go home. But then I usually, after I do, I'm kind of amazed that, hey, you know what? I did that, you know, and I connected with people. And this past new year, I met a lot of people, and they're texting me now and things. And geez, I wouldn't have had that. Over a year ago, so it's like when I don't want to be connected, they start to try to connect with me anyway. It's like, yeah, it's all right, you know, like they're coming to my rescue, you know. And so it's kind of nice to know that the universe does have your back. That's sort of what attracted me to that title. That, you know, now I can't stay disconnected too long because there are people out there that are, you know, attracted to me. So, good feeling.
Okay. Stephen, do you want to talk about when you feel disconnected?
Yeah, when I feel disconnected, I have trouble thinking, I have trouble finding perspective, and I have trouble focusing on what to do next.
Well, I've noticed signs of disconnection, checking my email all the time, not wanting to be around people is a sure sign, and playing with my fingernails is another one. Yep. And so those are big signs that I'm agitated, so now that I'm aware of that, I know that there are things I could do to get back into connection. So then my next question, I started out with the negative. The next question is, what do you feel like when you are connected? David? Mm-hmm. What do you feel like?
Energized, fun, and creative.
Connie?
When I'm connected, there's a whole lot of flavors of joy for me. There's the contentment, peaceful, tranquil, walking in the woods flavors of joy, and there's the exuberant, enthusiastic, eager flavors of joy. There's the warm and loving feeling of friendliness and hospitality and generosity, and there's rampant joy and friskiness and throw my arms up in the air and celebrate life feeling. There's connection expresses itself in my life in a lot of different ways, and I love them all.
Bethany?
I'll take all of the above because they really said it so beautifully, because it is going from a complete stop sometimes to can't wait to get out there and so energized and really organized thinking and getting so much done and enjoying every part of it, whether it's something like cleaning the house, which is not something, you know, I always look forward to, but I do like to get it done. So it's all of those things. Like you said, there's so many different levels of joy, and I know definitely I'm much more creative.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really desire to be out with people and spread the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
John?
I think the word that comes to mind is sort of inner contentment, calmness. I notice when I'm talking with somebody, like one-on-one across the table, I'm having eye-to-eye contact, and I'm feeling the connection. Am I nodding a lot? I noticed, and I'm going, I'm connecting. Really. That to me is just wonderful. The connection part. So I know that I'm in sync.
Okay, yeah. I can see the change in your face right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing because watching people talk about what it feels like to be disconnected, your faces are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And now when you're talking about being connected, your faces light up. So. Stephen, what does it feel like when you're connected?
I guess your mind works and you can think about what to do and that kind of stuff.
Do you get creative ideas?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, having a dog really, you know, you can really see connection when you've got a dog. Because except when she's around the cats, or if she's forced to be by herself for a long period of time, she's normally eager, happy, attentive, loving, and demanding affection. And that's the advantage of having a dog, is it helps remind me to stay connected more often. It's hard to be upset when you're around Dahlia. I notice, excuse me, when I'm feeling connected that I get ideas out of nowhere really fast. I call them brain farts. Sorry for those listening. But it's like you're just all of a sudden going along and this idea hits you. And it solves a whole bunch of problems at once. And it works. And that's how, when I'm really connected, I know I get a lot of those ideas. And also, I just feel happy. Mm-hmm. So reading this book has helped me a lot to feel more connected. So I think that, you know, for me, that I have really learned at a deeper level why it's so important to stay connected. Because when I make that shift and I feel connected, I feel like I can move a mountain mentally. And if I feel disconnected, it's like nobody loves me and I don't have any energy and why should I get out of bed in the morning? So the quickest way to get to a place of connection is through meditation and prayer. Big surprise. That's what we teach in religious science, and that's universally true. Almost any of these teachers that you know that she had studied under will say the same thing, especially meditation. And she became a she meditated for a while and then fell off the wagon and started meditating again and realized that she couldn't live without meditation. So she also said that when you're starting to feel a little fear, that means you're not relying on the universe, that you're not trusting. And so again, meditation and prayer are good antidotes to that feeling of fear. So I think it's important to watch the input that you get, because what you take in starts to become your reality. And like I said, recently it really hit home with me when I realized that I needed to stop watching the news all the time. I needed to stop talking about the election. I needed to just realize that all is well, and that goodness appears everywhere when I'm connected. So that was one of my main takeaways, was that life is good as long as that's what you are feeding yourself. So one of the things she does is she helps in identifying visions or desires, and we'll do an exercise in that after the break. And I love the section where she talks about obstacles. It's a long book, you know, relatively speaking, and she covers a lot of topics, and I'm not going to try to talk about all of them. But she, the way she covers obstacles was really a lot of fun, because we can think of obstacles as detours in the right direction. And Connie has many times said, taking a shortcut through a bad neighborhood to get to where you want to go. So the universe always provides us with direction, no matter where we're trying to go. And where our vision is of our future, it's important to have faith that when we receive a difficult challenge, it may actually be divine intervention. And this will help you build your trust, enable you to see where you're trying to control the circumstances in your life. So I certainly saw this in my own life 10 years ago when I moved from Sterling to Silver Spring. I was in a relationship, and right after that, a whole bunch of things happened that felt really painful. And I realized, and once I decided I was done with the pain, I realized that the best possible thing had happened to me, that I was in the perfect neighborhood in terms of my interests and my beliefs, that I'm among a very, very diverse community, which I like a lot. Some very highly educated people, and some people that, you know, they work with their hands every day and probably never got through high school. So there's a big mix of people, which I really like. I found that that the schools were better in Montgomery County. And every place I looked, once I opened my mind to the goodness of having moved, I realized that it was the best possible thing for me. And another thing that I got to do was I became the chair of the committee that plans out all the music for one of the local folk festivals. And while I have a music background, I had never done management on that level before. And so I discovered a part of myself that I'd never known I had before. And I've since given the position up, I realized that it was time to move on, that I had made a lot of changes, but I had no idea before I started out that I could do all of that. And it gave me tremendous confidence in my ability to take something on that was a huge task and to make it not only successful, but to improve on what had gone on before. So now, when you find an obstacle, for me, the best thing to say is, "Thank you, universe, for helping me see this obstacle as an opportunity. I'll step back and let you lead the way." And that's absolutely true, that the more we hang on to, "It hurts, I feel so bad," the worse we feel. I mean, it's like a downward slope. But if we can stop it soon enough and say, "Thank you, I'm going to trust, And sorry, I'm gonna trust and see what happens next. Then usually it's amazing how it turns out. Another thing I've discovered is that when we're connected, we have tremendous power in our presence. And I have to get up at work and talk in front of our office from time to time. We go into the auditorium, and now they have me up on stage regularly. And I think part of it is that I must have a pretty big presence, because I watch the faces in the audience when I'm talking. And I'm talking about some mundane work things. This is not a spiritual talk. This is not something exciting. I'm talking about how to use a new software package or some new policy that we're going to be applying. And I've noticed that if I do my work ahead of time, that I do feel my presence. And I think that's true of musicians, too. When you get up and perform, if you're feeling nervous, you don't project as well and connect with your audience as well as you would if you put your time into centering and feeling that power. So, again, she says, be mindful of how your thoughts, words, and energy disconnect you from the universe if you're on a downward slope. And know the difference between what it feels like to be connected to the presence versus what it feels like when you're not. And so when you notice yourself disconnecting from that presence, here's the prayer to say, I witness that I'm out of alignment with my power. I choose to see peace instead of this. And so it is.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriella.